Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
I think it all comes down to Chris Kreider. I think I put the bet in. Rangers going to win. Kreider, anytime goal. And, you know, let's go Rangers.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To do to save his life, call his wife in.
Hey!
Nothing to
good
save
morning, everybody. How are we doing?
How's
your boy been? 4:06 on this Wednesday morning. Mick Monagle here with you for another hour till the warm up show comes your way. 877-337-6666. We open with the baseball. We talked to Little Rogers, as you just heard. I did a little bit of yelling about that. Yankees are the best team, Mets are the, you know, pits, blah, 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 blah. Now it's time for Rangers hockey, because tonight is the night. Tonight is your night, bro. Tonight, hopefully, is Chris Kreider's night. Why not? Keep it going. Tonight is Panarin's night. Tonight is Zibanejad's night. And tonight is always Igor's night. Looking forward to this series. I don't know why they're underdogs. I don't know why they are the least likeliest team remaining to win a Stanley Cup. Because in my opinion, they have the best special teams left. They have the best goalie left. And yeah, you know, they struggle 5-on-5, but I think they're tough. They've done everything you could have asked them to do. They get a weaker opponent, they sweep them. They get a tougher opponent, they go up 3-0 and beat them in 6. This will be the toughest opponent, fine. This will be the biggest test, fine. I'm open to that. They've aced every other test. Aced. Oh, the goalie's struggling? We'll figure it out. We'll give him a couple days off. Rework him. Boom. Oh, we got to, you know, hold off the Carolina Hurricanes and try and win this division and win the President's Trophy to secure home ice throughout the playoffs. Boom. Oh, we need to take care of Washington real quick so we can move on through this Stanley Cup playoff and not be exhausted after playing a long series against a team that doesn't belong. Boom. Big bad Hurricanes supposed to beat us. No thanks. Same thing will happen to the Florida Panthers. Let's go. I'm pumped for tonight. I know Mike is too. What's up, Mike?
Oh, finally.
I know you've been on hold for a while. I appreciate that, Mike. What's going on?
Yo!
Oh, look, you know, you kind of said finally. You know, never mind. Doesn't matter. Go. What do we got?
Okay.
Rangers tonight.
Rangers, baby. Here we go. We're going to go 4-0. 4-0.
4-0? We're going to take care of all four games against the Panthers.
We're going to beat Florida, baby. Here we are. It's the Stanley Cup to New York City. Here we come.
Here we come. Well, listen, I don't know about all four, Mike, but hopefully
Why?
Because it's not easy to win four straight games against a quality opponent like the, you know, the Panthers. They're pretty good.
Listen.
Yes.
Listen me out.
I think, yeah, why don't you tell me why? I shouldn't have to tell you why they're not going to win all four. That's tough. You tell me why they're going to win four straight. What about the New York Rangers and this matchup tells me they're going to win all of the first four games and end this quickly and move on to the Stanley Cup Finals?
That's right. You know why?
Why?
This is the Eastern Conference Final. This is not the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
This is different Eastern Conference than the regular season.
Well, Mike, I suppose that's both accurate and insightful. Yes, it is different. But you know what? Here's the problem. I mean, just with what you said, I don't want to tell you that they're not going to win because I feel pretty confident about them. But the thing is the regular season, they kind of did very well. So I wish it were the regular season because they've already proven they can win that. It's the playoffs that has been their bugaboo here. But I do believe in them. And I don't know about a sweep. All right, let's just worry about getting 4 of 7. They don't have to win all. They don't have to win the first four. Let's take game one and move on from there. I love your enthusiasm, though, Mike. I love it. Keep bringing it. Rob in Manhattan. What's up, Robert?
Good evening. Oh, good morning, C-Mac.
Good evening. Good morning. Whatever.
I hope things are well at C-Mac Manor these days with everybody.
Everybody's
all right. I got a lot to say, and I'm going to try to say it quick.
Mm-hmm.
You forget the Rangers have one. There's one thing the Rangers do not have, but it will be in the Stanley Cup final. They do not have the best player on the planet, and you know where he is. And the finals are going to be between Florida and Edmonton. And if I'm wrong, I'll call you and apologize.
But that, right now, I want a sincere, heartfelt, written out an apology. Not just this, I'm sorry. I want.
You don't. Wait a minute. You think the Rangers have the best player on the planet?
I didn't say that.
Well, he's gonna.
You said that it was going to be a Florida Edmonton finals, and if not, you were going to apologize.
Okay.
I didn't ask for an apology. You just said it. But now that you're going to offer one, I don't want to see, I'm sorry, like a legitimate apology. Heartfelt.
Heartfelt. All right, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. I have a message for him. Aaron, keep on putting your foot in your mouth and making an absolute fool of yourself. I don't know whether you do it naturally or you work hard at it, and I hope the whole Aaron Rodgers experiment blows up in your face. Now, let's get to the...
Okay.
Let's get to the...
Clicking it off one by one. Good.
Yeah, now, but I hope before at least 5 o'clock you'll devote at least a couple of minutes to the game that was played last night in Boston. That's all I have to say on that, if you want to do that.
It's still frustrating to watch for me. The Pacers did a good job up until the end, and then they were brutal and blew the game. I mean,
all right, now let me get to the Yankees.
But I think they're going to lose that series. Again, I feel the same way about that game as I felt. That was a game to win. And if they weren't going to win that game, Boston has slipped up at home in both of these series. Miami took a game in Boston.
And so did Cleveland.
And so did Cleveland took a game in Boston. That was the game for the Indiana Pacers to take in Boston, and they did.
Let me ask you a Yankee question.
Please do.
Who's a better team, Baltimore or the Yankees? And come on, be honest with me.
The New York Yankees.
Really? Why?
Really. Because I think their starting pitching is better. They're getting Cole back. I think their bullpen is better.
Wait. What question? You think Cole right now is a better pitcher than who's the guy for Baltimore? Berman or Cole, whatever his name is. The guy that Baltimore traded for. I forget his name.
You forgot his name. I don't want to give you his name, quite honest, because you're telling me a guy you can't even remember is better than Gerrit Cole.
Well, no, I'm asking you. Cole
is clearly better than that gentleman you can't remember. There's no doubt about it.
Well, can you tell me what Baltimore's record is?
Are you talking about Burns? Is that who
you're referring to? Yeah, Burns. Okay.
I had to help you eventually.
Well, what's his record?
It's worse than the New York Yankees.
Really?
Yeah, the Yankees are in first place, buddy.
By how many games?
I think it's 1.5 because their game got suspended.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
Baltimore,
1.5.
How many games do the Yankees play with Baltimore this year? 13, 18, I don't remember. How many games?
Yeah, 13. Yes, it's 13.
Suppose if Baltimore wins 10 out of the 13, who's the better team?
I'd have to see how the rest of the season plays out. So if you're telling me... So let me ask you a question. What if, for whatever weird reason, Toronto beats Baltimore 10 out of 13 but finishes in last place?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen, nor do I think Baltimore's going to win 10 out of 13 against the Yankees. But if you're asking me hypotheticals, if the New York Yankees win the division by 10 games but lose
then
to Baltimore,
better team than Baltimore,
well, then that's what I'm talking about. So you have to tell me all the circumstances. Baltimore is a very good team. They won the division last year. Gunnar Henderson is incredible. I mean, he's hit a bunch of home runs in a row. He looks like one of the best players in baseball already. He's an incredible player. They've got really good, young, talented players. Burns, do I think Cole is better than Burns? Yes, I think Cole is the best pitcher in baseball. So that's an easy answer. No matter who you mention, I think Cole is better. And the rotation overall, I think, is deeper. I think the bullpen is better and deeper. And the closer situation, I know Cano's good, but they lost their closer to injury. Kimbrel. I don't think their bullpen is as good. And right now, I think the Yankees, despite maybe overall having a little bit of a deeper, more younger lineup, you could argue is deeper and better, but they have Judge and Soto in the middle of that lineup. And I know Gunnar Henderson's tremendous, but I don't think they have anything that matches that. And right now, despite losing 3 out of 4 in Baltimore, they'll have other opportunities. Right now, the Yankees are in first place. And I trust them. And last year, what happened? Baltimore in the playoffs, what happened? They got swept. Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
First of all, I think it's ridiculous to think the Rangers are going to sweep the Panthers.
Well,
the Panthers,
I mean, you got to give Mike, Mike just feeds off enthusiasm. Mike is a very...
He's just excited. No,
he's just excited.
That, but the
I would not expect. I would not expect them to sweep the Panthers. No.
And if my question is, if you're comparing this Rangers team to great NHL teams from the 90s, 2000s, 80s, where do you rank them? Because I don't think they compare to the late 90s Devils or the 80s Islanders. I think we're just getting a little carried away.
I don't think anyone, I mean, I don't know about you, Mike. I don't know what circles you run in, but I really haven't heard anyone comparing this Rangers team to the great teams. No, I mean, has anyone really said this is as good a team as the 80s Islanders? This is as good a team as the 80s Edmonton Oilers? I don't know.
Well, people are comparing them to the 94 team.
Oh, to the 94 Ranger team? Because that's the Rangers they're comparing them. I mean, that 94 team was special, but they only won one championship. It's not like they were some dynasty. And, you know, they had a hat trick in the last game, which reminded everybody of Messier a little bit. With Kreider's performance, they've got Leach and Fox, two great offensive defensemen, Richter and Igor, Richter was great and unbelievable in the big moment, but I think, you know, anyone would say Igor is probably the better goalie, but he's got to do what Richter did. I mean, that's what you have to do. But they've got the firepower, they got the power play, they got the penalty kill, they got the goalie. They need to figure out scoring chances 5-on-5, and they have to limit defensive mistakes. Are they the Devils of the 90s? Are they, you know, are they the 94 Rangers? I don't know. We'll find out. If they win a championship, I don't see why you can't compare them, but we're not there yet. I don't think anyone is comparing this Ranger team to the greats of hockey years gone by. I certainly haven't. I haven't heard that. I haven't read that. They haven't won anything yet. I mean, right? They're the friggin' underdogs. I mean, you're saying people are comparing them to the greats in the history of the sport. They're favored to lose. They're supposed to lose this series, and they're the least likely team to win the championship, compared, you know, as far as Vegas and the books have to say. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone's comparing them to the greats of hockey's years gone by. I mean, you know. I think you're just making that up just to try and take him down a peg. What's up, Maury in Belmore? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Oh, was Brian Wu the that's right. He was your he's your cousin's 13th? Nephew's girlfriend's former roommate.
A buddy I worked with many years ago. He's from California. Mm-hmm. Went to Cal Poly. 14 innings. 13 strikeouts, 0 ERA at Yankee Stadium. I want him on the team. He's 24. I'd like for him to start.
He pitched very well last night, that is for sure.
He's got five pitches. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that.
Sure.
Number one. Number two.
All right, Forrest.
Why can't the Rangers be the 2024 Rangers, Kreider's Rangers? Why do they have to be something else? Why
I don't think they have to. Own? Let's not overreact to one phone call. I don't think they have to. I don't think anybody's saying they have to be.
And I love Mike's enthusiasm. We love Mike.
Yes, we love Mike.
And then last
And his brother. We love them both.
We love them both, absolutely. What? Last but not least, we haven't talked since the Knicks funeral. But
it's not a funeral. Make sure, Maury. Let's get this
you
straight.
You said flowers. We gave him flowers.
Yes, it is not a funeral. It is just a rebirth put on hold. Everything.
I am
Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. They did nothing wrong. We are not criticizing them in the slightest. The Knicks did an incredible job and everything they could have. And don't you say a funeral. It was not anywhere near a funeral. People are actually upset and sad at funerals. There is nothing to be upset and sad about.
Christopher,
yes.
When NGO went to the hospital to see the Godfather, I'm here to see your father.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that song? And then the guys came by to kill the father, and Michael right. didn't shake. And the baker, was shaking like crazy. Couldn't even light a cigarette.
Right.
That's when Michael knew he was going to be in the family.
Right.
That's when I knew when Thibodeau should be our long-term coach. Let's make him a long-term coach.
I'm 100% with you, Maury.
That's my point.
You got
it. He wasn't shaking.
No, and listen, and he is relentless with his... And I think he made, I think the idea he didn't make any adjustments, he did. I mean, listen, we understand the injuries. I do think the McBride move to start McBride in game five, I mean, prolong the series, unfortunately, that's all it was. But at the time, felt pretty damn important. But again, I just want to make sure we're very clear. Knicks are great aces. I don't, nothing disparaging about the Knicks. Please. I love them all. They're all great. They did every. It's a miracle they got where they were. They did it on sheer just will. They willed it to Game 7, and I will not criticize them. Or a funeral is an insult. How dare you say we are having a Rangers funeral? Nonsense. People actually get upset at funerals. This is much more of a celebration. We need to celebrate these New York Knicks, and anything short of that is a real, real just injustice and lack of any awareness whatsoever. So I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be unaware. So please be careful about how we speak about the Knicks, because it was nothing but just glorious, wonderful, unbridled joy, every moment of it. Even as they were getting their doors blown off in the last three losses, every single moment of it was just, we were all blessed of being able to have watched it. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it at shortstop. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, so, speaking about the Knicks, see if I can get the teams right there. So, for those of you who think I just say Yankees all the time, couldn't even get Yankees out. Rangers, Knicks. But speaking about the Knicks, I've touched on it briefly. The news that came out yesterday from Steve Popper out of Newsday, that all indications is that Brunson is going to be willing this offseason. to sign a four-year extension for $156 million and forego waiting one more year and having the ability then to sign a five-year $270 million. So, I mean, you're talking about passing up on $114 million if he waits one more year. And, I mean, if they could do that with all the question marks they have, because obviously they're going to have the question mark on Ananobi. You could have, you know, Randall up for a extension, although I don't know if that would be pressing considering the injury, but he's up for one. He could get one. You got Hartenstein, who is going to be a free agent. And then there's just the ability of, you know, trying to make it work, bringing in other pieces, be it superstar or anybody else. If Brunson is going to be willing to take that kind of haircut to help build this team in the, you know, manner of Tom Brady, who I have to give it to as much as I dislike the man, his willingness, you know, it helped when you were married to a supermodel and made more money than you did, but let's not even preface it. It's a good move by Brady. Let's not be that guy. But if you're going to be willing to take that kind of contract to help this team build around you, I mean, this guy, I mean, does anybody get it more than Jalen Brunson? Honestly. And it's just a rumor. We'll see what happens. And even, I wouldn't begrudge him if he waited the year to get his money. I mean, that's the way it goes. That's life. He's entitled to it. And God knows I'm not going to complain about it with how great he's been. And if you think about it, just real quick on the numbers, because I saw this. The first year of that extension would then be, at least, you know, according to Jeremy Cohen on Twitter, on X, assuming he knows what he's talking about. He's linked in the story. The first year salary of the extension would be $34.9 million. And that would make Brunson the 34th highest player in the NBA. 34th. Darius Garland, LaMelo Ball, DeAndre Ayton, and Desmond Bane would all be making more money than Jalen Brunson. If that is a contract he is willing to sign to not only stay with the Knicks for the next 4 or 5 years, but to help build this team around him to win a championship, I mean, this guy is, I mean, he takes it to another level. I mean, he writes open, you know, I'll call it a love letter, for lack of a better term, but he writes open love letters to the fan base before the playoffs get started. He, listening in the post game, he seems more upset, certainly, than 90% of the fan base right now, who just is just so damn pleased they've forgotten they lost the series. I mean, he seems dejected and more upset for the fans than the fans are. And now, it guarantees them the money now. Yeah, it locks them in and anything could happen. And he's got a fractured hand. But I would think he's got confidence in himself. I would think this isn't, if he does do this contract, you know, not knowing all the particulars, but I wouldn't think this is about making sure he's securing his bag now. I think this would be about doing this under the guise of trying to help this Knicks team build around him so he can win a championship. I mean, what else could you ask from a player? And what more could you have gotten for bringing someone in? I mean, if he does this, like, name another player. Now, it's got to lead to winning, clearly, because Messier led to winning. Even Alex Rodriguez at least won a championship, despite all the other nonsense that went around. But, I mean, if he takes this contract and foregoes $114 million and helps this team build to a championship after what he's already provided. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed to find another guy who's come in here from outside and impacted an organization and a fan base in this way in any of our sports. I mean, just, it's incredible. I mean, this guy is not only emerging as one of the best players in the league, right now, clearly a top 10, maybe better than that. And he's willing to get paid like the 34th best player? because he wants to win. And he wants to build a team around it. And he wanted to be a Knick. I mean, there is, and he's emerged from being someone who was, you know, scoffed at bringing here. And people laughing at the Jalen Brunson sweepstakes. Call it a sweepstakes. He's not good enough. He's not a number one. I don't even know if he's a number two. We've seen all the highlights that they've played and put together as we watch him become a one of one. A guy who can give you back-to-back-to-back 40-point performances in the playoffs. I mean, that doesn't come around. And now this guy's going to be willing to take contracts that put him in, you know, a point where he's making $100 million plus less than he could have so that he could put this team around it in a cap sport. I mean, this guy is the greatest. I mean, there's not been another player that has been brought in from the outside via free agency or trade that would have impacted a franchise and an organization as much as this guy will if he wins. Now, you got to preface it by he's got to win. But, I mean, he's given us every indication that he will. And I understand the fan base's enthusiasm even after the loss, because you have a guy like Brunson who plays the way he plays, willing to do the things he's willing to do. And right now, Leon Rose and a coach that you believe can put together a team that fits this coach's style, gives you stars, gives you talent, gives you the ability to win, and you expect them only to get better moving forward. But they have to do it. And this contract, if this comes to fruition, is part of a pathway to getting there. And for him to acquiesce $100 million in the name of building a team is, I guess it's not never been done before, because Tom Brady, I don't know if to this extent, I don't remember how much he could have got or the contracts he did get or whatever the case may be, but he certainly took less money to put better teams around him. So it's not like it's never been done, but it is. And especially in a league where you hear nothing but players who are unhappy, players who constantly want to be moved, players who want to be put in their specific scenarios and will, I mean, in some cases, put on weight to get out of the city. Like, this guy has come here and planted his flag and said, I will eat less, I will provide for others, I will do everything I need to do to bring a championship to this place. It's remarkable. It's special. The guy is freaking special. Bobby in Smithtown. What's up, Bob?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm curious about the Knicks playoff series with Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little confused about why they even played Indiana in the first place. Because I thought Knicks being the 2 seed would play. Well, I thought like the Celtics being the 1 seed would play the higher seed.
They don't reseed in the NBA playoffs. They do it bracket style. So they come up with the bracket, they play it out, seed, you know, the 1 seed plays the lowest seed, the 1 plays the 8, 2, 7, 3,
right.
4, 5, 3, 6, and then they just set up a bracket and go about it. There is no reseeding in the NBA playoffs. So the Pacers were in their bracket. It's that simple.
That simple.
They do it like the NCAA tournament style. They just set up a bracket. I'm sure there's a rhyme or reason that I don't care to explain right now on why they set up the bracket the way they set it up, but that's just the way it is. They don't reseed. They would have played the winner of the Milwaukee Pacers series no matter what. That's just the way it was going to be. Whoever won that series was going to play whoever won the Knicks series against Philadelphia. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, is it Brett from Long Island, Brett on Long Island, Brett in Long Island? Because I always say it's Brett from Long Island. So you got to correct me if I'm wrong with that. What is it?
No, I mean, you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself as long as you're okay with. I think I say Brett. Did I say in Long Island? Because you always say on the island, but
I don't know. I think you say in or on. So I just.
I think some days I might say in. Some days.
What is it? Am I from? Am I on? Am I in? Am I at?
I think you're all of the above, and that anyone is acceptable on any given moment. That's what I think.
All right, Chris, let's slow down. I like Jalen Brunson. I've been praising him all year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going too deep with the whole, you know, thing about this contract. He got hurt last year. He was out, right? This year, he watched half of his teammates out. He himself just fractured his hand. His agent probably talked to him. First of all, the superstar tag has been put on him. But I got to ask you, how many seasons do you need to play like that to be a superstar where now you're considered the superstar? He's done it for what? Last year, he was great. This year, he elevated to superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to get sucked in again, like with all the other contracts we've seen? We're talking contractually. We know we all get sucked in. We love him. He's the best Nick. He's been great, humble, the whole thing. But come on, how many of these monster contracts? I'd say 98% of them. And like you even say, even A-Rod, as monstrous of a contract, we always say he got us one championship. And as long as you get that, you get the pass. But my point is, his contract probably won't even be worth it if the Knicks fade away and don't win anymore.
Yeah, but,
you know, I mean, don't
well,
win
I mean,
at all.
So yeah, I'm but that's, saying, a, that's a different...
I think his agent probably told him, like, hey, man, you know what? Take the guaranteed, which you got to... If you're going to talk about that, you need to talk about what the stipulations are, what the contract is, how much front-loaded money... I don't know how NBA contracts work, but, like, is he getting all that money guaranteed, even if he is hurt and out, as opposed to the long-term deal? So you got to be specific.
Well, yes, the NBA contracts are guaranteed. So if he signs for 156 over 4 years now, or 270 for 5 years next year, he's getting either 156 or 270. Yeah, I'm not sure about the back-loaded, front-loaded, any of that, but the money's guaranteed. So he's passing up a guaranteed, now, $114 million. But your points are different. I just want to make sure you understand that. Like, whether or not the contract will end up being worth it or not as good a bargain as we see it, or any depending on how he plays and how the Knicks do moving forward, is a different argument than whether or not Brunson is doing this for whatever reason. Because
I'm sorry.
If you think Brunson,
I think it's also helping him.
No,
possible, Chris.
No,
that it's helping an injured player hasn't proven superstar.
You don't think think that guy is willing to bet on himself for one season? You don't think he's willing to bet? Yeah, he hurt himself. He just went off on the playoffs and showed the whole world he could score 40 when he wants. Like, you're telling me this guy doesn't have the guts and belief
and
in himself?
Yeah, and went out for the year, and he wouldn't have played another game.
I understand that, but we saw what he is. It's the NBA.
He wasn't going to play
Leonard
anymore.
Never plays.
Right?
He got a max contract.
It's the NBA.
Yeah, but you get. Yeah, but you get the contract anyway. He's already shown what he can be. You're looking at it from the standpoint of the Knicks. Brunson is going to get paid. If he gets hurt next year, he's still going to get paid.
If he doesn't sign the contract, like you're saying, plays next year, gets really hurt.
Well, yeah,
his stock goes down. You're not addressing that.
Of course, yeah, but because that's understood in any circumstance.
But you're
saying he's not going to.
You're guessing on it.
No, listen, I understand what you're saying. You're always so argumentative, man. I'm just asking you, do you not think he's passing up on $115 million? Like, of course, you're guaranteeing the money now. We understand that there's some benefit into it, but it's one season. It's one season. He's already proven he's an all-world player. The Knicks aren't going to give him that $270 million. It's 1 year. Everyone expected him to get the max contract. Yes, there's a slight benefit to it, but he's doing it for you think he's doing it just for that, or he's doing it to, you think he's not willing to bet on himself? You think he's doing it strictly on the idea of, hey, anything could happen in 1 year? Then why hasn't Juan Soto signed the contract? He can get injured in this next 3 months. These guys bet on themselves all the time. He needs one more year of staying healthy to make $115 million more. And even if he gets hurt, this contract will be there for him, the 156. Even if he gets hurt, they'll give him the 156, I'm sure. They'll give him something. They'll probably still give him the max, unless it's a career-ending injury. I'm sorry. You're right. There is a benefit to signing the money now, because theoretically, anything could happen. Anything could happen. But if you think that's the reason, if you think Jalen Brunson is afraid to let this go out one more year and is afraid to bet on himself to make $114 million extra next year, I think you're crazy. This is so much more about building the team. Now, there's a benefit to it, sure. He's also getting $156 million. He's not doing this for free. But it benefits the team. And show me another player who doesn't wait. Show me the other player who doesn't take their max contract. Show me the other player who'll do it a year early and make $100 million less. Maybe there are better examples of it, Brett. Tomorrow, that's your homework assignment. Call me with all the NBA players who have gone out and grabbed the bag immediately and foregone the extra year of $150 million. $115, excuse me. Go find that guy who's willing to do it. Maybe there are. I'm open to that. Maybe I'm missing a few off the top of my head arguing at 4:45 in the morning. Maybe I am. I'm missing some. But go find him for me. Go find me the guy unwilling to bet on himself for one season. Show me the superstar who just went through a postseason where he scored 40 points at will. Show me a guy who dragged the team with nobody around him to the second seed. Who's not willing to wait one season for $115 million. Yeah, sure. He gets paid now. Absolutely. $100 million less. This is about, hey, 156 sounds pretty good to me, life-changing generational wealth, and I'll do smart things with that money and I'll be set. I don't need the extra $100 million. I'd rather spend that money on pieces around me so I become a legend here and we win championships here. That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's just out to be selfish and get the money now and he's afraid he might blow out a knee next season. But I'm sorry, we've seen an older Kevin Durant blow out an Achilles and still get paid. You think the money goes away because he gets hurt? Because we've seen example after example. Kawhi Leonard never makes the freaking court, got paid. You think Jalen Brunson won't get paid if he gets injured next year? If he breaks his hand again, if he breaks an ankle, if he tears a knee, an Achilles? We've seen other players still get paid. It's benefiting the Knicks. I would think that's 90% of why he's doing it. But you're right. He does get paid early. He guarantees himself some money before anything else could happen to him. I think that's not the reason he's doing it. But maybe I'm wrong.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Let's go a little rapid fire style. Let's get to the phone calls because we're already at 4:52. We got you till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show comes your way. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, listen. I'm still upset, but people are celebrating a New York season that you got 3 out of 4 games blown out.
Hey,
last four,
be careful.
We are still celebrating. What a great clap to the Knicks fan who are celebrating 3 blowouts and blowout in your building in Game 7. Clap, man. Oh, you celebrated a lot. Oh, great season. When you get blown out, you don't even have a chance in the fourth quarter. And your all players and your star player get injured. And you're clapping. Give me a great season. Yes, you work very hard. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it, Knicks fan. Okay, now come to my 2 points I want to say.
Yes.
People want to, they want to appreciate what we have there in the regular season. But reality is we have to put reality checks here. 3 out of 4 games got blown out. In the 3 playoff seasons, tips as a coach, against Atlanta, they were not the favorites, but they got basically toasted. Last year, they were favorites in the series against Miami Heat. They got toasted. Against Indiana Pacers, they were favorites in the season. They got toasted. So that's the reality check on tips. So I have question marks. I will still bring him back because he gave a two seed and a lot of injuries happened. So I'll bring him back. But bringing him back, but putting him in order that you have to improve. Give me an inbound pass that if a first round somebody is going to take 10 seconds out of Brunson to just bring the ball out of the half line.
Yeah.
So can you give it to somebody else? They tried to do it against Indiana Pacers, and Halliburton throw a pass on the above half line, and they have a layup. After that, the Knicks never tried it. So can the Knicks, the head coach, can tell our players to try this? They did it in the first round, so it continued the inbound passing in the second round. That's coaching job. Please, I love Tibbs, the way he coaches. But the X's and O's and the stubbornness on playing some players, if you play 12 players in regular season, I'm not talking about the minutes. If you play 12 players the way Indiana Pacers play their 12 players, even their rookie, you have confidence on the players if somebody gets injured that they come to the playoff rotation and they can score and they can perform at the highest level. But when you go on a seven-man rotation or eight-man rotation,
I hear you, Omar. And normally I let you go longer, but we're up against it for the rapid fire. I want to get the calls in before the end of the show. I think that's a little unfair. The guys who did come in did play well. They're just not good enough. Burks came in and played well. I mean, McBride played well. Achiuwa played well. The guys who had to step up played relatively well. For them, they're just not good enough. But I don't. Some of the things I agree with, and you can call back tomorrow. I just want to make sure we get the calls in before the top of the hour. John in Manahawkin. What's up, John?
Morning, Mac. How are you?
Good morning. How are we doing, bud?
Good morning. I think you do a great job. Great listening to you.
Thank you.
Quick point. I think our Rangers need a little help from the bottom six, a little more production out of them. This Florida team's a tough team. They can key on our top two lines as long as our bottom six aren't pitching in. So I'm going to hang up and listen to your
response. That's why I want, I want Hedl in the lineup. I don't want Rempe. I want as much production from those bottom lines as you can get, and it sounds like that's what they are going to get. And I played the audio from Sean Avery earlier. He thinks Rempe is the guy you need to play and send a tone and announce that this is a war and they're ready for battle. I want to win on the scoreboard. I don't need to win in the fisticuffs. I mean, if it comes to that, if you feel like they're running at Panarin and taking shots and, taking cheap shots at him or Zibanejad, and you need to adjust to play that kind of game, then I'll do it. But I want the firepower of the Rangers. I want to score goals. Let them try and be physical and take penalties, and then let's beat them in the power play. Let's do it that way. I don't think you have to throw the goon out there who isn't trusted by the coach, who plays 5 minutes, who doesn't play down the stretch, who is a waste to you. He's a waste to you, other than if you need to go out and establish that it's a war. I think it's a bit much. Mitchell and Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hello, Big Mac. How you doing, buddy? It's been a few days here, but it's been nice. It's been a great run for the Knicks and Omar. I would love to get into Omar, but I'll discuss that tomorrow. And the Rangers side, the Rangers have to go out tonight, and before I get to my Yankee point, they have to go out tonight and play the third period they played in Game 6, and the Rangers will be fine. That's where they have to play with intensity and push the puck and more shots on goal, and they're gonna play tough. They can't just play lax. That's there. Now going to the Yankees, Big Mac. Well, let's see. We have the best record in baseball. Our pitching staff, everyone was concerned about our pitching staff. Hill is pitched like a gem. You know, everyone keeps talking about, well, what are we going to do when it comes after Cole comes back? Let's worry about Cole when he comes back in another month and a half down the road and everything else.
I think it's going to be earlier than that.
What?
I think it's going to be earlier than a month and a half. I'd be surprised. I mean, I guess somewhere around there. I guess you're not totally off. Okay.
Right. And then we get now LeMahieu back probably sometime next week, to say around the 28th. That's going to change the whole. I wonder if Bruins going to leave Volpe as the number one spot and put LeMahieu back like batting seventh or eighth. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've kind of flip flopped on it. I think that he should put LeMahieu back at the number one. I because, and I'm going to let you go, Mitch. I said this before. Maybe not right away because I want to get DJ LeMahieu, you know, get his feet under him, let him establish the season, get some at-bats. But honestly, my main reason is I love Volpe's speed, and I think it's wasted at the top of the order right now. I said this. I know Michael Kay has made a point of it on the broadcast a bunch. I've been saying this since the start of the year. I said this on the Rico Bronya podcast with Evan before the season started. I don't like stealing bases or attempting to steal bases in front of Juan Soto and Judge. I feel that's a big part of Volpe's game, and you don't need it, and I don't want to run into outs in front of them. And I want him on first base, leaving the hole open for Juan Soto. And as long as I feel like DJ LeMahieu is performing and hitting and being the guy who gets on base that he's been. Now, if he's terrible, it answers the question for itself. But if he's pretty good, if he's back to being close to what LeMahieu is, then I think that's a better spot. And then you could put Volpe down in the order and let him steal some bases and utilize all the tools of his game. But we'll see what they do. But that's what I would do. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Fliegelman, thank you. The warm-up show is next. Everybody, enjoy your Wednesday. Let's go, Rangers. The Garden Party is back. See you tomorrow, 2 a.m.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.